Well, if you know me at all, you know it's very rare that I'm speechless. But literally, Karen Harris took every word. I mean, literally, she took every word that any of us will ever speak the rest of the year. So all I can say is what's been said today. Happy Mother's Day. It was especially enjoyable being with the mother in our household, Donna, and the group of other mothers that were here, Veronica and Stephanie and friends and other mothers in her family. We saw the Sound of Music last night, and I finally matured to the standpoint at 46, I can say I love the Sound of Music. Now, I've always loved it. I can only now admit it, okay, at 46. I used to watch it when I was a little kid. But it was great to see in live and in person at the Oregon Ridge Theater. And then I even thought of another mother while there. She's sitting right here in the second row, Sharon Stonecipher, because on the back of our program it said, sponsored by Alger Electric in Pikesville, Maryland. And that's where she works. So I said, wow, a great connection with all the mothers. Let's see. So what we've been doing, it's a good thing. This is gospel on the fly. Like I said, every word's been taken, so we need to go on the fly today. But we are going to be answering some questions that literally come from you, the audience, and we're going to proclaim the gospel. I'm going to proclaim the gospel, and I have you help me proclaim it. And together, we're going to address the questions and be encountered by the Father, Son, and Spirit who are with us. We can't go anywhere. They're not. Good luck ever trying to get the Father, Son, and Spirit off your back, as it were. You can't do it. You can, like Richard said, not just Sunday, but Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, your work, your play, your making love, whatever, wherever, they're there. They created all that stuff. They're sustaining you in each one of those moments. So you can't get rid of them. So, you know, think about what that does already to all the thoughts we've had about God being separated from you. You can't be talking about him literally being separated from you. That's impossible. You wouldn't exist. But I appreciated Richard saying that because it's a reminder that whatever Sunday's about, Sunday's just about the reminder. We're going to just take some time and space and the grace given to us by God to say, I got to remember this. This is too good. I'm going to take at least 2 hours out of a week. Think about that. Only 2 hours out of a week. That maybe more sometime. 2 hours, three, to just think of the best news possible. I got to thinking about how this was good news. I saw the good news so much in that story of the Sound of Music. Some of it I'll talk about later, but what comes to my mind right now is, you probably know that song if you've heard it very long, is When the Dog Bites, When the Bee Stings, When I'm Feeling Sad, I simply think of my favorite things, and then I don't feel so bad. All right. I thought I could ruin it for you. But look, I heard the gospel in that. I got to thinking, you know, the gospel's good news, but it's good news right in the middle of these dogs thing, of these things, dog bites, motherhood not going so well, fatherhood not going so well, childhood not going so well. So it comes to us in a real way, in a realist way. Somebody mentioned that already. Maybe it's Karen. Yeah, I'm sure it had to be her. She said it all. she talked about it being real. But it hits us right where we really live. So we're not talking again about some pie in the sky kind of stuff, even though it is pie in the sky. I mean, the gospel, the good news of who God is and who we are in him, that's pie in the sky. But it's pie in the sky right here in the middle of our junk and our darkness. But what we're going to do today, and this is what we practice on Sundays and participate in with the Father, Son, and Spirit, is in the middle of the dog bites and the bee stings and the trouble in your house and mine and the world, we're going to remember who we are. We're going to listen. We're going to remember the things. We simply remember the thing, our favorite thing, the gospel, and then we won't feel so bad. That's really about the best we got it now until we get our resurrected life. So we're going to begin with a question today. So last two messages have been out of Hebrews 5:9, brought up by one of our members, and I'm not going to go into that anymore. We've covered it in two messages. So we'll start on the fresh question today. And so I don't misquote it. Here's where we're headed for the next few weeks. So today we won't get past just this one question. Why did Jesus have to die? Why couldn't God just forgive us of our sins? So that's the question we're going to address, and you're going to help me address today. But then I'm going to invite you back, because the next question we're going to cover is, why can't prophecy and the return of Jesus be in more of our messages and advertised outside by the road? Jesus is returning. So we're going to still get to that one. Then we got a couple more already on, but we won't get past either of these. So why did Jesus have to die? Why couldn't God just forgive us of our sins? Well, let's not presume, or let's just remember that only God can truly give us the answers we seek. Because it's God that actually helps form the question, really. Because we exist only apart from him, we can question only because he exists and sustains us. So let's pray, is what I'm saying. Father, thank you for sending us the Spirit, and Spirit for reminding us just now that we can't even begin to take for granted that we could just speak and comprehend you, speak of you. You're God. You're, in your most basic sense, something wholly other than we are, invisible, eternal. I mean, we really don't get a grasp on what that is. So what I'm saying is thank you for sending Jesus so that you could bring your life, that indescribable life, right to where we live in our real humanity. So thank you, Jesus, for bringing the life you share with your Father and the Spirit with us so that we have some chance today of really receiving real good news in our broken humanity even. What we receive and what we say won't be perfect, obviously, Lord. It's sinners that you are calling saints. And yet, nonetheless, we must take seriously that Jesus is not a theory, but a real fact who has really done something in human nature. So help us to revel in that truth and get the goodness that you want to today. Speak, Lord, and encounter us. We're looking for you. It's in Christ's name that we pray and give you thanks. Amen. So why? I'm going to leave this up here as a hint. And then I guess I'll write our question. Why couldn't God just forgive us? That'll be my short way of writing this up here. Now, this is a good question. It's been asked a lot. I've asked it a lot. Maybe you've asked it. Because really, think about it. I mean, if we just think of reasonably the way we think, why? If he was going to forgive us at the end of the things and just say, it's okay, children, I'm sorry. You've sinned in this way and that. I forgive you. All is well. Why didn't he just do that? Why would you go through all the rigmarole of having your one and only begotten, or your one and only son, before he's begotten, become a human being that people spit on him, curse him, reject him, put him on a cross? And why would you do that if in the end you're just going to say, I forgive you? That sure seems like an odd way to go, and a complicated way to go about something very simple. So that's kind of where our reasoning really should take us, and where I'm kind of taking this question, where that's really kind of coming out of. It's not the person that asked this is not the only one. I found a person who asked this. The immediate thing that came to my mind when I read it was, I've read that before, somewhere similar, so I found the reference. It was C.S. Lewis. How many of you are aware of C.S. Lewis? Read any of his work? Okay. He's a brilliant thinker, he was. He's gone on now. But here's what he said. He said, we are told that Christ was killed for us, that his death has washed out our sins, and that by dying, he disabled death itself. That is the formula. That is Christianity. That is what has to be believed. On the face of it, that is a very silly theory. If God was prepared to let us off or forgive us, then why on earth did he not just let us off and forgive us? So I'm trying to say right there that you're not the only person that's asked that question, whoever asked that question. That's been asked by some of the greatest thinkers in our day. So let's kind of talk it out, but we don't. What do we got to do before we can talk it out? This is where you got to talk to me now. Tony, you got that mic? Okay, go ahead and get ready to. We're going to get you on the mic, okay, because our sermons are shared with others, and we want them to be able to fully hear what's going on. So what are we going to do to answer this question as Christians?
As Christians, first we need to pray and look to God for the deeper meaning of why he created us and what happened when Adam fell, what took place in that fall. When God created man, he created us in his image. And his image is love, is spiritual. And when Adam fell, he took on another image. When he listened to Satan, he took on Satan's image. So it took the death of Jesus. This is my thinking now. It took the death of Jesus to restore us, to recreate us in the image of God. And that recreating is what is going on in us now. We'll be recreating, aided in the image of God before Adam fell.
Okay, so I'm going to say that's very good and very deep. That's very good, very deep, and very true. I want us to begin a little more simply if we would. So you said, you hit it right. The very first words were right. What's the first thing we would do is pray and ask the Lord to show us. We wouldn't take for granted that we could just get in and know it by ourselves. So we've actually practiced that today. So that's beautiful. What else would we do, though? What is our lens for beginning to grapple with any question, even the scriptures themselves?
Well, in the Bible it says, first of all, I think he just forgave us. In the scripture it said, before the creation, Jesus was crucified before the foundations of the world. So it's not, say, a decision after the fall. That decision was made before man was even created. So he did just forgive us. Mm-hmm. But there's another issue. It's free will. Free will has to be worked out. And that's where the suffering and struggle is coming off, because God is creating a perfect love, like Father, Son, and Spirit. And if he created us just to be goody-goodies, then we're robots. Mm-hmm. So we have to work through this free will. It's kind of hard to explain, but both things are working at the same time to accomplish his great purpose.
Okay. Again, I'm going to have to commend you on a very in-depth and true answer with regard to the gospel. You're deep. All right. I want you to step back now. Remember how Mama used to teach you when you were an infant? Could Mama come at you this deep? About the ABCs. I want to get to the ABCs. What is the first thing? So I'm going to give you some clues now. Okay, so y'all are a deep and good folk. I'm actually proud of you, because we just came out of Hebrews, and the writer of Hebrews was upset because he said, y'all should have been able to be teachers by now and teach this stuff in a deep way, but you're like children and infants. You need to drink milk. You can't even get the basics. But I want you to be, what if you were proclaiming this to your mama today? If you were, what would you say if you was talking to your mama today? And she hadn't heard this at all, but this is the first time. Okay, so you kind of, the first thing you do, we said, is pray. And the second thing you do is what? All right, that's good. The second question, the most basic thing, again, nothing has changed since last week or the week before or the last 2 years since I've been here. The gospel is the same as it ever has been. And we start the same way. You pray, but then we ask the big question, who is Jesus? And why would we ask that? Hint, hint. Hint, hint. I left that up there for this very reason. I know we're all eventually going to have to get there. That's where you start. It's because for us, the gospel is not some concept, some mental gymnastics, really, that we have to work out about a concept. The gospel, in the first instance, for us, is the person of Jesus Christ. You see how difficult it is, really, to still keep to come to that, to zero in. The first thing is that our gospel is, Jesus is the gospel. All right, so I want you to proclaim the gospel to me right now. Normally, I proclaim it to you, so you should be able to. I need it myself today. I need you to tell me what the good news is. I always say it in the same way to give you some hint so that something begins to get recorded in your mind, but I'm going to give you a hint. So let me write some things up here, and then I want you to tell me the gospel. And FSS stands for Father, Son, and Spirit. So Trinity, adoption, incarnation, and I'm going to put a clue underneath there. Secret. All right. Here's your good outline. This will help you. This will help you if you have a hard time remembering and come to the gospel. I'm just giving you something you can find very helpful. Five easy words. Now, New Life Fellowship. You've heard it for so long in some of the same exact ways. Preach the gospel to me, Pastor Tim. Preach the gospel to me. We've begun with prayer. We're beginning with the right question. Who is Jesus? Jesus is the gospel. Just preach the gospel to me. We can't answer this question until let's get the gospel mind. That's our lens. Our lens is Jesus. We got to know some things about that. All right, Eleanor, you can. So this is the first clue. Start right here. Don't go anywhere else.
Oh.
Start right here. Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit. Right. Tell me something about that being our gospel.
Father, Son, and Spirit. They are the triune God.
Uh-huh.
who loves us with an unconditional love, but also executed a plan from the beginning to. You said don't go further.
Right. That's good. All right. You caught yourself. That's very good. Now, you went there. You just kept going. but you both have gone to the same place. You just told me in your own way that the God who is the triune God, and you've specifically labeled him Father, Son, and Spirit. We could say Spirit, Son, and Father. We could say Son, Father, and Spirit. Doesn't matter. We're not talking about some hierarchy where one is better than the other. We're talking about three persons who are equal. But nonetheless, you just told me that who they are, and what I heard you say, and speaking to me, is you said they are unconditional love. You're telling me right now, and I'm telling the congregation as a result, so then you're saying this God embraces me at my very worst. Now, what I think I hear you saying, he doesn't wait for me to get stuff right. He doesn't demand that I get stuff right before he embraces me and loves me with his full love, because you just said he has unconditional love. That means without condition, right? All right, so good. That's where we start with the gospel, that whoever God is love, and God loves me. That's good. That is what I've always said first to you with the gospel. What's next? Let's just go right here. Let's not go past there. You were going there. Okay.
God is relational. He wants to have a relation with us.
Ah.
He's relational.
All right. So that's right. That's still at the first point. You're right. And you're right. Because he's relational, tell me about this next set of good news. All right. Let's go back. Mary had her hand up.
Because God is relational, he wanted to have a relationship with us.
Mm.
He loved us, so he planned to adopt us as his children.
Ah, okay.
Do you want me to go further?
If you would, go ahead. Give it more.
Okay. And
Talk to your mama. You're telling her the good news.
It is good news.
All right.
And it's so good that it is hard to believe, so you have to... You know, give the facts to help people in their unbelief, mm-hmm. and ask this Holy Spirit to help you. But because God is relational, he wanted to share that relationship with us, with all of humanity.
Mm-hmm.
So he adopted us as his children.
And when did he adopt us? After from, we acted from, stuff right?
From the very right? beginning.
That, from the very that, beginning of
that
what?
Was his plan
uh-huh.
At the beginning of creation.
Okay. So is that the only time he began to love us? Is he created us and then he began to love us?
And well, his love is forever. I mean, he doesn't ever stop loving.
That's right. But did he just start create us and then say, I'm going to love you from this point on forever? Or was his plan to love us before that?
Yeah. Right. He adopted us because he loved us.
That's right. And when did he adopt us in his own mind and plan? Speak it, Tony. Yeah. Speak it, Brother Tony.
Before the foundation of the world.
Before the foundation of the world. You can see why Jesus was a carpenter. What's the carpenter's rule? What's a carpenter's rule about measuring? Measure twice, cut once. So before the Father actually acted out the plan, the Father, Son, and Spirit thought about the plan. The plan before anything was ever created is we're going to adopt and bring into our family, I won't say anymore, children to participate in our love and life and be included with us. And they thought out all the ins and outs of that and then created. So that's important to say. They only created once. There was no plan B. There was a plan A, because God's a better carpenter than you are. All right, you're not measured twice, cut once, and then cut again, and uh-oh, messed up, cut it again. One plan from before the foundation of the world enacted. Okay, we're getting there. You see how, wow, this is not as simple as it seems to really express it. I want you to talk to me like you're talking to your mama, and she doesn't know the gospel. I want you to come at me like that. What would you say? So we're getting there. God is love. He loves us all unconditionally. He planned from before the foundation of the world to adopt us. That's not enough, though. What's the next thing? Come on, somebody. We say it all the time. You got to know. I know you know it. Karen, I know you can talk. She said you can only talk when you're behind the mic. Come on, somebody. This is not. You don't have to be embarrassed. This is where you work this out. This is where we can talk openly with one another. You can make a mistake.
Well, incarnation was Jesus because... His name was Emmanuel, which meant God with us. So he came down to be with us to experience everything that we experienced because he loved us so much.
Okay, this is good. So he's saying that the one from the Godhead came to us, the Son, in the incarnation, to be with us even as we are, but to accomplish what? What was the incarnation for, though? So just hold everything together. Okay.
Well, the incarnation is to accomplish what we already talked about, the adoption and the love and all that. Uh-huh. So that's how he's going to do it. It's going to be in Jesus.
Okay, now that's crucial. So he said the Father, Son, and Spirit love us and have planned to adopt us before the foundation of the world, but they're going to adopt us through and in the Son, Jesus. So how are you adopted? Are you adopted by your faith? Are you adopted by your belief? Are you adopted by your church attendance? Are you adopted by your religion? Are you adopted by your rebellion? Are you adopted by your sins? How are you adopted? How do you get included in the life of the Father, Son, and Spirit? Through Jesus. Yes, I mean, you're right. So I'm just amening you. I'm just trying to help you as we talk it out. If it's saying this, then it's also telling us what it's not saying, which is so much of what we spill out to people. They get confused. We tell them you can be adopted, but then we quickly add what preposition? You can be adopted. You know, God loves you so much. He's so kind and loving, and he'll love you forever and ever if you get your religion right. And I'm looking at it ain't right. You're not doing what I'm doing. You're not going where I'm going at the time I go there. You're not reading what I'm reading. We messed the whole thing up. So this is why we want to be careful. We don't want to just get in. We can't answer this. Why could? Because this is about God. So who is God? I mean, the first question you almost want to have is, why couldn't God just forgive us? Well, which God are you talking about? There's many, many views of God out there. But Christians, we have a unique and distinct view. So this is why this is very important for us. All right, so what I'm hearing so far is God the Trinity, a relationship of love, decided to make us in their image and adopt us into that relationship before we could do anything, but not just before we could do anything and adopt us, but to adopt us in a specific way through Jesus, not through anything we do. So you can see how this is just all of grace. It's just given to us. So we're born adopted because Jesus came when? How many years ago now, approximately? See, everything changed 2,000 years ago, even for mothers. Let me throw you a little insight in here. So I'm just going now. This is on the fly, all right? But maybe this will give you a little richness in the gospel. So there was a command by God for men and women to get together and multiply, right, and have babies. But do you know that changed at the incarnation of Jesus Christ, in a sense? You know how? And I know you probably would never be able to come to this thought. You'd have to really think about this a while, but I can help you here. because I heard Alyssa made a statement. I said, "Hey," happy mother. You'll be a mother someday. I told her, and she was like, "What? Oh no, I won't." You know, and I didn't get to tell her this, but she was proclaiming gospel there. So I want to commend what she was saying, but help us understand why that's true. See, there was a command for men and women to multiply because there was a particular man that had to come. And if none of us obeyed the command to multiply and have children, who couldn't have come? Because Jesus was appointed by God to come at just the right time among men and women. So in that time, obviously, was 2,000 years ago. So had he come any time prior to that, that wasn't just the right time. So we have a command to get together as men and women and have sex and make love, and not just make love, but to bear children until Jesus Christ could be born. But now that Jesus is born, does that command still stand that you'd have to be a mother and have to get together and have children? No. You could do that, and many of us still do that and enjoy that. That's great. But it's no longer a have to like it was before the incarnation. Before the incarnation, it was a have to so that the incarnation could happen. But now you don't have to be a mother to be fully acceptable. See, this is why what happened in the Old Testament, the old thinking. Mothers and fathers, that status was so high because children were the most precious thing in the world, because that was almost your resource. That was how you tilled land, and they didn't have technology like they do now. And Jesus was on the way, but once Jesus came, you don't have to be a mother to be a sufficient woman. If you remain a single woman for the rest of your life, you are as bad as you want to be, girl. You are you are just as up there. I mean, we could look at Jesus and say he was a single man. But I'm saying you don't have to be married. I've talked to you, got to be in relationship with the opposite sex in order to be follow the command of God to be human. And this is what she was getting at there. The image of God is co-persons. When we say God, we're not talking about just some singular being. We're talking about Father, Son. That's at least two, but there's three, Father, Son, and Spirit. So to be real human beings and in the image of God means you got to be relating with the opposite sex. It's man and woman. You got it. So you got to be relating with other. You can't get out of that, but you don't have to marry to be acceptable and be right before God and fully who you are as a human being. All right, so that's important. That's how deep this rabbit trail goes, as it were. But we can only go there if we know this. All right, so then what's this? So if that's the truth so far, Trinity, adoption, incarnation, then what's that tell us? Right here, why would we write secret? See, now look, I've said this so many times. I'm ready to pull my hair out. I've said it so many times. Come on, you got to be able to tell me something. You see why we got to come each week? You got to remember again. I'll give you a clue. This is the... Okay, I already got a comment right here.
The Holy Spirit.
Okay. Okay. I want you to come back with that answer when we get here. But that's good. I appreciate you venturing out there. That's good.
The secret is that man has become part of the Trinity.
Yes. That's good. We'll take that. But Pastor Richard's been saying it kind of all morning, actually. He was all fired up. And he was saying, what was he saying about the gospel and people's understanding of it? Do you know, Richard? What were you saying about the average guy driving down the street or the average woman going down the street?
They don't understand it.
Oh, and what don't they understand?
They don't understand the gospel.
Which is the truth
which we just outlined there.
All right, now that's the truth about who?
Who Jesus is and who we are in him.
Okay, so I'll take that. He said there's many people driving right down on this street right here, Lord Baltimore right now, and they not only don't know who Jesus is, but because they don't know who he is, they don't know who they are. But the secret of who they are is this. So they don't even know it. They're trying to find it all the kinds of ways you try to find it. Entertainment, play, work, success, education, I mean, you name it. Work, living in a certain neighborhood, making a certain income. And we know the secret. The secret is they're already who they want to be because God made them that in his son Jesus, we said, 2,000 years ago. But they're still trying to find themselves. Yes, Dave. Well, let's go. Okay, we're going to get you on the mic. Beautiful. Let's hear him say that a lot. Say that again, Dave.
Say that. Sounds like our mission statement.
And our mission statement is what?
To know Jesus, to know who everyone is in him, as a father's adopted children who understand, embrace, enjoy, and fully share this good news with the world and the Spirit's multiplying grace.
All right. Thank you. Very right. This is why our mission statement starts there. We're not really make one up per se. We just took the gospel and maybe put it in our own creative words. But if you know Jesus, then you know who you are in him. But our mission statement expands on it fully. It says, if you know Jesus, then you know who everyone is in him, because he came not to just one human being. He came to our complete and total humanity in one person. Again, that's our scriptures. Again, in Hebrews. Really expounds on that. All right, so the secret behind your life, this is it. You've been looking for it everywhere. And it was already, before you arrived, it was already the truth about yourself, who you were and what your life is about. Your life is about being included in the life of the Father, Son, and Spirit, this unconditional love that's yours. And it ain't going anywhere. They're always going to love you. You're adopted. You're the adopted son or daughter the Father always wanted. He always wanted a son or a daughter just like you. Despite your mistakes today, we said this was unconditional love. Despite your rebellion for a time, maybe even now, today, still, you're God and you're his son or daughter. And because of he did this through Jesus, who came and took up our humanity, that's the secret to your life. So we get to what's the final thing to know? Let's go back. Right up here, Tony.
It's the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, the Bible. That's where you learn all the teachings of what you all talking about up there, the Trinity, the adoption. It comes from the Word of God. That's the only way we're going to figure out what's going on.
Okay, that's good. That's right. I've heard this come out a few times today. The only way we're going to know this is by the Word of God. And who is the Word? But Jesus, where'd he go? What did last week signify? Last week was Ascension Sunday. He went up, all right, he ascended to his Father. We say taken up, you know, but remember, that's you lose that a little loosely, because if you're in China, then he was taken down, right? Okay, all right, so, but when he ascended, he did what with the Holy Spirit, as it were?
Poured it out on our flesh.
Did the Holy Spirit down to us to? So that's what's going on today. That's what our brother was saying. How's he educating us? In what kinds of ways? What did he mention? What's the various ways we're getting educated? The written word. So look, have we thrown out the written word? No. Who gave us the written word? The living word. But you're just not going to, if you got the living word with you and the written word, which one are you going to go hug? you see what I'm saying? All right, so if your mother wrote you a letter and she comes and visits you, which one are you going to hug to say, hey, mother, I love you? It's not going to be the letter she wrote. It's going to be her. And this is the lesson that we're learning. But that written word was good until you could fully see your mother. All right, now and only now. Well, this is good. I mean, this is all. I don't want to keep you too long today, so maybe we'll go 5 more minutes and then we'll be done. Whew, that took a while today, though, to get to this basics. This is what we got to learn first, best. Because, again, it doesn't change from week to week just because you're reading a different scripture or asking a different question. This you can count on. This is where your assurance is. So then you've got to, however you say this is my way, and I've learned this actually a particular way from my mentor, Dr. Baxter Kruger. That's a great little 5 shorthand word way to say it. You've heard me say it in my own way each and every week pretty much. But now we're prepared to answer this question a little more. Why couldn't God just forgive us? I want you to think about that 1 second while I pull up something. This is going to take a couple weeks actually, because I'm going to go a little slow. We're going to get this. So I don't think we move past this real quickly. Now, can anybody think, what's the typical answer that maybe our evangelical world might give us to why couldn't God, just forgive us? What would be the typical answer, maybe? Go, Eleanor.
A scripture comes to mind, the wages of sin is death.
Okay. We're going. Thank you. That's good.
Be a
that's
penalty
good.
Paid.
Oops. Oh, that's really good. So why couldn't God just forgive us? Eleanor says, because the scriptures say the wages of sin is death. How does that question make sense, that he couldn't just forgive us? What is she saying? Can you expound on that just a little bit more? If he'd have just forgiven us and we died, what's the problem with that?
I think there's a scripture that says in Hebrews that there's no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to write in shorthand. So Bill's saying our very own scriptures, which we validated are from the Lord, say no forgiveness of sin without bloodshed. Now think about the gospel we just said. We said that we were included in the love and life of God before we could even ask for forgiveness. How many of you were able to ask for forgiveness 1,500 years ago? 1,600? So we said 2,000 years ago, something happened that put us on a whole new basis with God before we got here. And yet, in the light of this question, we're saying our scriptures say no forgiveness of sin without bloodshed. And the wages of sin is death. What other? Yeah, go ahead and expound on our problem. We're having some problems. I agree.
Well, one of the scriptures say that the Lamb was slain from the foundation.
Oh, that's good.
And wage is something you get for something you've done. So maybe somebody had to pay the price.
Ooh, you're getting into the... Okay. Now, this is good. I've actually said this a lot. But I think the number one thing people are going to say is just what she just said. And in my own language, I'll put it this way. I'll add it this way. Oops, sorry. So she just said, someone sinned, so someone has to pay. How many of you have heard that before? Or thought in those terms. I know I've preached that from pulpits. Somebody sinned, you, Dave, and somebody's got to pay. You know? Jesus, of course, in this word. No forgiveness of sin without bloodshed. Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That appears to back up what's said here in number two. No forgiveness of sin without bloodshed. But God decided there would be bloodshed in his son for the foundation of the world. And someone sinned and someone has to pay. So we see the justice of God has to be acted out. Let's go back to John. Is that where you're headed, John? Okay, I'm sorry.
Another scripture says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Therefore, sinners cannot enter the glory of God. If I understand what that scripture means.
Okay. So why couldn't God just forgive us? He said, because all have sinned. And the wages of sin is death. That's really getting at one reason why, one very good gospel reason why God couldn't just forgive us. What would happen then, to ask this more plainly, what would happen if God forgave us, but we died? Right. Now, how many of you know that it's not good to be dead? All right, this is not rocket science. I'm not talking ivory tower theology. I'm trying to, she just hit it. It's not good to be dead. If God just forgave you, but you're going to be dead, then you just be a dead sinner, forgiven by God. And that's, no. Everybody just admitted, by the way you answered the question, that's not any place we want to be, right? We want to be alive. Because why do we want to be alive? Now think about what we just said. I'm sorry I had to erase it. Why do we want to live? And what is life? Tell me what that is. And that's about the best we can get today. Why do we want, Jesus is life. So to tie that into, why do we want to live then? Just because Jesus is life. Why? I'm testing you a little. I'm pressing you a little. It's all right. Your answer is right. I'm pushing us to think it out a little more. Okay, hang on. Thinking about Jesus dying, that he whose life is Jesus?
Well, Jesus, he died and he rose for us. And when we die in Christ, we'll rise again. So the resurrection, so we live forever.
That's right. So I'm hearing so far that Jesus is the life and what Jesus has done for us. But what did Pastor Richard say today that I'm really trying to get you to clamp in on that really makes the gospel gospel? So he's the life. He's done something for us. But not only that, that's good. With us. Huh?
So when he died, we died. When he rose, we rose.
Woo! You got to go there in order for this to really speak to us where we're at. Somehow, whatever it means for Jesus to be the life means he's our life, which means you got to take that personally. He was your life. And now she's expounding even more clearly that when Jesus died, 2 Corinthians 5:14, you died with Jesus. We died, but also you died, Diana Nesbitt, when Jesus died. And when Jesus rose, because you're united with Jesus, we not only rose, but you rose, Randy. 2,000 years. That's how personal you got to take it. That's how personal you got to make it for other people so that now this gospel reaches them where they live and breathe in the middle of their desperate circumstances and dog bites and bee stings and you know all the rest. Man, this is good. We got a ways to go. Now we're not even hardly hitting this one. So we're going to come back next time where we left off. Oh, this is beautiful. All right, so we're going to be here next week. Please, let's see. Turn those papers that you just got. No, I'm going to trust you on this one. I almost didn't trust you. Keep those with whatever you bring to church each week and make sure you bring that to church each week. It's crucial. But I want you to read it because that way we can be a lot farther ahead on answering this question if you'll take the time to read it. It's written back in the 300s, okay? So account for that. But believe you me, it can hardly be better said than what is said on that paper. That's why one of the church fathers, Athanasius, and what the early church believed and understood from the apostles about Jesus Christ and even answering this question. All right, so Father, Son, and Spirit, thank you for this good news you've given us today, and I offer it up to you, and you've offered it up to me in the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit, who not only love us more than they love themselves, but who also likes us, and they really do mean who? You, me, us, very, very much. All right. So.